Blog Talk Radio.
Time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
What's up, fantasy fans, and welcome into the Scout Fantasy Takeover. I am Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive. You can follow me on Twitter, at the Fantasy Executive. Of course, also, give a follow to Scout Fantasy, at Scout Fantasy on Twitter. Getting ready to rock and roll with you for about the next 60 minutes or so. Coming to you, going to talk some NFL free agency. So for all you people listening on demand, definitely get a chance to check this out at some point throughout the course of the work week. Going to talk some NFL free agency with my man, Mark Morales-Smith of Scout Fantasy, and he also does some work for the Dolphins and different fantasy sites out there as well. I want to get into some NFL free agency stuff. I want to talk about who's still left out there, some of the moves that has already been made, and, of course, look forward to the NFL draft. That's where we're going to start at in a few minutes. But, of course, got a full 12-game slate of basketball in the NBA tonight. Going to get Matt Brandon on of Scout Fantasy also. He's one of the guys behind the scenes. He's going to come together. We're going to break down the entire slate, go game by game, get you ready to cash out in tonight's DFS contest. Now, if you live in New York State, like me, myself, and Matt Brandon do, will be joining us shortly, you're not going to be able to play fantasy hoops tonight on FanDuel or DraftKings. Matter of fact, there's a good chance you'll miss a nice portion of the baseball season on FanDuel and DraftKings with the foolishness and nonsense that is going on right now in New York State. But DFS site's in a little bit of trouble, at least the two major ones, that is. But, of course, right now, no threat for season-long fantasy players in the state of New York. But that is a situation that we'll continue to monitor over on Scout Fantasy, make sure we get the right thing done. The management crew over here at Scout Fantasy keep everybody involved in the Fantasy Football World Championships and, of course, the Scout Online Championships. But our DFS hoop stuff over right now in the premium forums, I'm telling you, they're getting it done every day. DailyOverlay.com, just named Scout Fantasy, daily fantasy basketball projections, top in the industry over some other big sites such as Daily Roto and Roto Grinders. So definitely do a good job over there. Now, if you want to get involved, head on over to our premium forums, Fantasy Code, Scout Fantasy, Fantasy Exec Code, EXEC3 will get you 2 months of free premium membership right now. Head on over to the Scout Fantasy forums and get a look at some of this good work we're doing with the NBA DFS stuff and get ready to cash out in your contest. Because you know us fantasy players, we got to figure out some action and get a way to get in there and go each and every night. Fantasy baseball won't do too much of that, even though opening day is right around the corner, a little bit of a week from coming up for the day. But still, Scout Fantasy, get involved. 44 rounds, $44 draft and go leagues, still rocking. Best prizes in the industry. Get you a nice little Scout Online Championship Fantasy Football team for the fall by taking down one of those leagues if you so choose. So also $88 pennant leagues. Get involved right now. Slow drafts are still going on, probably till about the end of the week, but definitely get involved as soon as possible. Leagues are filling. Get out there and get some fantasy baseball action. Draft and go style, like I said, with the best payouts in the industry. Right now I want to bring in my man, Mark Morales-Smith. Mark, haven't really had a chance to talk with you since free agency started, so a little bit behind. But I do want to start out with big move that was made yesterday and get your thoughts on it. Of course, Alfred Morris goes from Washington to division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, going to be running behind the Great Wall of Dallas. One of the things we're going to be talking about over the course of the next few minutes, Mark, is the running back by committee situation that we have going on across the NFL, making things even more difficult for fantasy owners. But, Mark, I want to start at this situation in Dallas. Darren McFadden, obviously, still in the mix. McFadden coming off back-to-back seasons in which he played 16 games, if I'm not mistaken, Now, Alfred Morrison is a guy who plays 16 games each and every year of his NFL career. Durability is not an issue, but some of these things I've heard is 2 yards in the cloud of dust. You know, without that spread offense that RG3 ran, the yards per carry drop significantly. He does not catch passes. Mark, I'm under the impression that running behind the Great Wall of Dallas, this is the RB2 that'll flirt with RB1. What do you think about Alfred Morrison and Big D?
I'm really torn with Alfred Morris because he fits the system perfectly. He's a big back that's a one-step cut and go, so he fits perfectly. But if you watch him on film each year, he loses explosion. He's not the same guy he was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, even 2 years ago. So, but I didn't believe in McFadden last year, which I still don't believe in McFadden because I don't think he's that good. And I don't think he's going to stay healthy. But he did much better than I expected. And the numbers don't really, you know, back up my thoughts, so I can't really say much about it. But I think by the end of the year, Alfred Morris will be the primary early down back in Dallas. And he fits the style well, so make of that what you will. What you have left in the tank, I don't know.
I think Lance Dunbar will get the PPR action out there, and I do agree with you. I think Alfred Morris will end up being the every down back in Big D. Speaking of which, let me just go back and rewind this whole thing for a little bit more. Because you live in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
You're a Jersey guy. You're a DFS
yep.
player, right?
Yeah.
You know, we can set up shop at your crib. You know, I mean, maybe you charge people a little entry fee. Get some of these New Yorkers out to your crib so they can come over there and set their lineups for DraftKings fans. What do you think about that?
Could do that, man. People want to pay, I'm good down for whatever. Yeah, I play basketball. I do about 3 basketball lineups every night. You know, I usually do the main, the express, and the late night or the after hours, whatever they have. I do FanDuel.
You're a FanDuel guy. I'm a DraftKings guy myself. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to get my DFS action in. But as a Jersey resident, you're still able to play. You don't live in Hoboken, though. You live pretty far out, so I don't think too many people will be traveling out to your neck of the woods.
I live in Belmar. No, I'm not that close to Philadelphia. I'm right in the middle, right on the beach.
Okay.
Right where that stupid Jersey Shore show was shot.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, moving right along, we're going to have to cap out of that action real quick. Want to get into a RBBC in Jacksonville. Rookie running back T.J. Yeldon was, I think he impressed for the most part last year, Mark. I feel as if, you know, Jacksonville is a team, obviously. You saw the big numbers Blake Bortles put up. So they're passing the football, playing from behind for the majority of the season. But I do think at times Yeldon showed the, you know, that he could be a 3-down running back in the NFL and definitely a guy that could be on fantasy radars. Now you bring in Chris Ivory to share that workload with him. And you know what? I think that really cuts into it. If I'm a Yeldon owner in a dynasty league, I'm pretty upset right now because we saw Chris Ivory last year. This guy is healthy on the field. He gets it done. And the pass-catching ability is there also.
I agree. What I'm hearing out of Jacksonville is that the coaches are worried about Yeldon's durability. And that's why they brought in Ivory. And Ivory also has durability issues, if you look back on his career. And he does tend to wear down throughout the season because of the way he runs. So I'm guessing it's going to be close to a split-back system. And don't forget they have Shoelace Robinson there to cut into the PPR. He's going to get on the field. He's going to catch passes. So that situation's a mess right now. I mean, if I'm drafting one, I'd probably go Yeldon. But it's not a good situation for fantasy owners.
Nope, but it's a good situation for fantasy owners for the most part, at least right now, is the situation that Lamar Miller finds himself in Houston. Now, Miller leaves Miami where he was not getting the workload, goes to a Bill Bradley offense, just brought in Brock Osweiler as the quarterback. Don't get me wrong, dynamic wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, I would say top 5 fantasy receiver for 2016. But now you have a situation where Lamar Miller more or less can come into a spot where he can get those touches that he so desires. And Lamar Miller has really looks like a fantasy back in a very good situation coming up for 2016, Mark.
Yeah, as a diehard Dolphin and Hurricanes fan, this one hurts my soul a little bit. But I think I can't see how he's not going to have a huge year. clearly, if you look at his yards per carry, he's capable of being near the top of the league in yards per carry. They just, the Dolphins coaching staff was just so inept. Joe Philbin clearly didn't know what he was doing, didn't want to give him the ball. You got guys like Daniel Thomas in there just carrying the ball for 2 yards per carry for drives for no reason. Miller was a little banged up in college. He's not that big, but I don't see any reason why he can't be even a top five fantasy back.
I think, yeah, I agree with you on that. Top five fantasy back for 2016. Lamar Miller is one of the guys with a real good situation right now. Let's talk about your Dolphins. What are they going to do in their back, in their backfield?
See, everyone is panicking. I don't think it's an issue. Go with the Jai. He was projected to be as high as a second-round pick. You got lucky. He fell to you in the fifth. Just roll with him. And if you want to add someone else for depth, do that. Because you need someone behind him. But he's a better goal line runner than Lamar Miller. And he's a better pass catcher than Lamar Miller. So you add someone else, add a smaller speed guy in there. And I don't see why you can't just go with Ajayi.
I think I agree with you on that. I think he is a good option. I don't think they do anything in the draft this year, honestly, either. So I think Ajayi may have a chance to end up in a nice situation in that Miami Dolphins backfield. Another split system that I want to talk about and touch on right quick. I don't know. Listen, Matt Forte is in the New York Jet now. Of course, we all know Matt Forte for his PPR greatness. The Jets quarterback situation currently still up in the air, not to mention, you know, amongst other things. Forte comes in there. They don't have a quarterback right now. It's Geno Smith. The whole thing is a disaster. But listen, Bilal Powell is a guy who flashed towards fantasy owners and notice. Matter of fact, he carried some fantasy teams down the track last year, putting up big numbers. Bilal Powell did. So what do you think about this situation with New York?
Powell was way better than Ivory during the last, like, six games of the year last year. He was hurt for the majority of the beginning of the season. So, I mean, he clearly showed he has PPR value. Forte, I've been waiting to fall off a cliff for like 3 years now, and he never does. I don't really want to put my foot in my mouth again with him. But, I mean, he's at that mark. He's at the 30 years. He's at the 2,500 carries mark. He's bound to fall off sooner than later. But, I mean, he may have one more year left in him. I think he's going to be given the opportunity to be the feature back. And if Powell's definitely going to be in the mix, though, either way. So, but I think Forte is still a safe, very high-end RB2, maybe RB1 in 12-team leagues.
No doubt. I feel you on that one. Now, Mark, I want to talk to you. I'm switching over to the wide receivers, and, of course, we'll get into our daily fantasy basketball talk in about 10 minutes from now, so hang out for that. Switching over to the wide receivers, this was a day where Brandon LaFell is filling a void, Marvin Jones, and Mohamed Sanu both exit Cincinnati. Brandon LaFell looks like he's going to be a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. But coming off of, listen, 2 years ago, he came out of nowhere, had a decent season in New England, that system with Tom Brady. Now, a lot of people, wide receivers, do struggle in that system for the most part, reaching in years in the past. Now you have a situation where he goes opposite of A.J. Green. I've always thought Brandon LaFell was a guy with the talent. What do you think about LaFell in that wide receiver 3-4 range in 2016?
I was never that high on LaFell, even coming out of LSU. I think Marvin Jones is better than him, so I don't think he's going to put up his numbers. But when you put someone opposite A.J. Green and you put Andy Dalton and they like to throw and he's going to catch passes, I see him as a wide receiver 4 next year. Not much higher, though. I don't love his upside.
What about the upside of Chris Givens? Out of all these wide receivers, free agency signings, I think this is a very intriguing one for fantasy right here. Latest thing we heard from Peterson, the Eagles' new head coach, is that they want to, this report came out recently, as of, you know, today, they want to try to play Jordan Matthews on the outside, maybe possibly freeing up that slot for Chris Givens. But Chris Givens, listen, I think Chris Givens can have some PPR action in this offense. What about you?
I do really like Givens. He is what he is. He's a slot guy. He can run the deep ball. He's fast. He's quick. And I think right now he's the second best receiver on that team. I've never been an Aguilar guy. He should have never been a first round pick. Chip Kelly took him because he fit his system, which he does, but he's just not that good. There was a lot of receivers picked in the first round last year that shouldn't have been first round picks. him and Rashad Perryman highlighting that group.
No, Rashad Perryman, but that was a disaster. Marvin Jones takes over. Well, Marvin Jones goes into a situation in Detroit, not taking over for Calvin Johnson. Clearly, he cannot do that. Golden Tate's still obviously the dominant one. But Marvin Jones, what do you see his fantasy outlook for 2016, knowing what we know now about the current Detroit Lions?
I think it's going to be similar to what it would have been in Cincinnati. He's going to see more targets, but he's not going to have the dominant guy opposite him. And I think it balances out. I think Golden Tate is still a clear wide receiver one there. But Jones isn't that far off behind him, I don't think. So I could see him being he could be a flex option if things work out for him.
In a 12-team league, you think Marvin Jones could play every week?
I think he has the upside to be a flex option. I wouldn't draft him as your primary flex option, but I think he has the upside to be a flex option. Because I don't think Stafford can just target Golden Tate constantly like he targeted Calvin Johnson or targeted Tate when Johnson was out. I think they'll spread around a little more.
No, that's definitely not his game. I agree with you on that. You know, he does not have that dominant takeover, get the football to him every time type wide receiver that Golden Tate is. Still good for fantasy, but obviously, clearly for the Detroit Lions, they need to probably look to upgrade their wide receiver position in the next couple of months throughout the NFL draft, because everything's about going to free agency now. Travis Benjamin. I like Travis Benjamin. He came up big to a lot of people last year, and now you have a situation where he goes to San Diego and a team that's known to pass the football a lot. You know, for the most part, they have stretches where Phil Rivers just sits back there and wins it 45, 50 times the football game, especially when they get in those battles. He's coming in throwing that role vacated by Malcolm Floyd. Listen, Travis Benjamin is a guy I can get behind in fantasy for 2016.
This was maybe my favorite signing of all free agency. I have no issue drafting Travis Benjamin and plugging him into my starting lineup week one and rolling with him all season. I'm with you. I'm with Travis Benjamin. I think he's going to be a starter all year. I think you can probably draft him as a wide receiver 4 with wide receiver 2 upside. He will probably be on every team I have next year, unless I'm in a league with you.
Let me ask you this. You're a New York Giants fan, are you?
No, I'm a Dolphins fan.
So you're a Dolphins fan. You just said that. You're a Dolphins fan. This seems like a wide receiver that would have been perfect for the Giants. Travis Benjamin, in my opinion. Obviously, they didn't make a play for him. Victor Cruz is washed up, bro.
Victor Cruz is done. I said last year, I wrote, he's not going to play this year. And people were drafting him. It was him and Dwayne Bowe were being drafted as, like, wide receiver 4s. And it was, people make me angry.
Speaking of a player coming off a very serious injury like the one that Victor Cruz had, Jimmy Graham, of course, for the Seattle Seahawks, I don't think he sees the field this season either, even though some of the reports have been optimistic. This type of injury, especially he had this injury late in the 2015 season, really tough to come back from. So far we're hearing this rehab is going good. Jordy Nelson on schedule to be a beast. I see him being drafted in the first round in PPR and standard leagues this year. I want to hop over to the tight end situation, though. Kobe Fleener goes to New Orleans, where Jimmy Graham was before he got hit to Seattle. We've seen Ben Watson have a nice season at times last year. Matter of fact, Ben Watson put up one of the top tight he was one of the top tight ends per reception. But I think Sweeney getting into that situation, Josh Hill's a bum. Do not ever draft him again, anybody. Sweeney going into that situation in New Orleans, I think this is a very interesting signing. If you were to ask me, who would I rather have for 2016, Sweeney in New Orleans or Green in Pittsburgh, I would go with Sweeney.
See, I would go with Green. You know, barring injury, since he's always hurt.
Yeah.
I think Green's a much better. See, Ben Watson is a much better football player than Kobe Fleener. And it's not close. Everything.
You think Fleener's not just the guy, period.
Fleener's just, he's soft. He's going to be brought off the field at times because he can't block at all. He can't block anybody. He doesn't run great routes. I don't love him. I just don't like him as a player. He's in the perfect system if he's going to do well. I don't like any of the tight ends, to be honest. You got Yeah, Hill is terrible. Fleener, I don't like. But he has the ability, if they use him like Jimmy Graham, and they're like, well, we're just not going to block anybody, then he could be good, but they're not going to win. So I don't know if they'll do that. That's
okay,
why the Colts
well,
gave Dwayne Allen all that money and not Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Allen, I think we could see that Dwayne Allen was a better talent. But I still think Fleener, I don't know. I think this is the perfect situation for him. I think it's the perfect system. You know what they're going to do. They're going to sling out. They're going to sit back there, Drew Brees, they're slinging around the field. That team's going to be playing from behind again this season. Listen, I feel like he can get some action. I feel like he can get in the mix. So Fleener's a guy that I will be seeing what his ADP is come August and as we get closer to the start of the season in the Fantasy Football World Championships.
The situation is right, but I worry about a better football player taking a spot on the field. Even the kid from, I don't know how to say his last name, the kid from New England, who, man.
I know
who
you're talking about,
yeah. You know, call him who, man. I don't know why I can't say that last name. But even him, they're better players. They help the team more than Fleener does because he can't do anything. He's a glorified receiver.
Okay. I can get involved with that. I definitely take your word on that one, and we'll see how this situation plays out throughout the course of the draft season and, of course, going into the 2016 fantasy football season. Mark, my man, glad to have you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Continuing to rock and roll, I want to thank Mark Morales-Smith joining us right here on the Takeover. Talk to some NFL free agency. Matter of fact, I think if you go to Play Scout Fantasy, if you want to get involved, for the NFL draft. There's plenty of draft coverage over on Scout Fantasy. Matter of fact, I'm quite sure, and like I said, on Play Scout Fantasy, probably a draft and go up in the lobby in case you have that itch to draft in big-time fantasy football against some of the best players in the country. So definitely take that into account. Now, Scout Forums, the premium forums, our NBA DFS advice every night, sending guys home, bringing home the bacon. I got one of the masterminds behind it, one of the guys behind the scenes. I want to get him on here and talk some DFS hoops with him. Of course, that premium content right now on Scout Fantasy and our forums. You got to go in there and get involved. Daily Overlays just gave us number one experts right now in the DFS fantasy industry. The projections are coming out every night. I know I'm cashing most nights of the week unless I got an injury situation or something like that. So head over there right now. Of course, the promo code is EXECT3, EXEC, the number 3, 2 months for free so you can get involved with some of this good action. Of course, opening days around the corner, so you can almost bet Tommy G and the rest of the crew will have that good old DFS baseball action for you. Now, me, myself, personally, and my man right here, Matt Brandon, we are New Yorkers. So we are, right now, we're locked out of FanDuel. We're locked out of DraftKings. We got to look at alternative ways to play, but we'll figure that out as we go along, but this main goal right now is to get you ready for this nice, big, juicy 12-game slate tonight. What's going on, Brandon? Matt.
How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing well. Just sitting up here. Got a big slate tonight. Unfortunately, I can't get no action on FanDuel. I have moved over to Fantasy Aces, try to keep my skills sharp like me and you talked about earlier. But before we get into all of that mumbo-jumbo, as we get ready for the slate for tonight's action, what's some of the injury situations that we should be concerned with?
Well, there's all sorts of injuries going on in the NBA, and that's really one of the main things you need to look at when you're preparing your DFS lineup. You know, I've gone through all 12 games, looked at a couple guys that you should avoid, a couple guys that you want to take. A couple injuries, Jay Crowder is out for the Celtics, and Evan Turner has stepped into the starting lineup, and he's playing very, very well. He's been a starter in the past. He played for the Sixers, and over his last three contests, he's averaging 15 points, 6.7 rebounds, 4 assists, and he's going for 30.6 DraftKings points per game. So that's a big one. I think Turner can have a solid night against the Raptors tonight. A couple other injuries. DeMarcus Cousins was just ruled out literally minutes ago. So
glad we got that out of the way early because that would have been a killer on sites that lock, like Fantasy Aces for us New Yorkers.
Exactly. So that's a huge one. So you know, a lot of people try to decide when Cousins is out, are you going to go with Kufis or are you going to go with Willie Cauley-Stein? In my opinion, Kufis is the guy to go with. Cousins sat out. He dropped 19 points and produced 30 DraftKings points. And the other night, Cauley-Stein only played 5 minutes. So I think that's the safer play. Kufis is definitely a value center that you definitely want to target tonight on both DraftKings and FanDuel. So those are two very big injuries that could affect the DFS landscape tonight.
Let me ask you a question about this that specific injury. We have a situation with a player like Boogie Cousins. He has a guy that can step right in. Even though it may, like you said, you still have Cauley-Stein in the option, but I think, you know, the guy that plays daily DFS every night already knows that Kufis is the guy in this situation. What do you think his ownership looks like tonight?
I think it'll be very high. I think it depends on, you know, cash game versus GPP, but I think it'll be, you know, around 30%, maybe 20%. The reason that it's not higher is because there's a lot of very solid centers on the board. One particularly that I think has an incredible matchup, which is Karl Anthony Towns. So when you have Towns on the board, it's hard for a value play to get too high ownership, but I do think Kufis will be owned pretty highly.
All right. Any other injury situations before we start to get into the slate?
You know, the Sixers are really banged up. Jahlil Okafor and Robert Covington are still out, so Hollis Thompson's a good option. Kenneth Faried is still out, so Daryl Arthur, boomer bust type of play. I know I told you to play him the other night. Didn't work out too well, but the night before that, he went for 36 DraftKings points. So
That's how it is sometimes, my man.
Yeah, he's just the type of guy. He'll go for 36, and then he'll go for 10. So he's a tough trust, but he's definitely a guy that you want to consider when he's only 4,200 on DraftKings and 3,700 on FanDuel.
No doubt, agree with you on that one. Let's start to get into some of this game actions as we get ready to break down tonight's NBA slate. The Washington Wizards are a 1-point home favorite versus the Atlanta Hawks. They got 208 as a total. Nice high total. Should be some action in this one. What do you think?
So this is a great matchup because this is a rematch of the playoffs last year when there were, I believe, 3 buzzer beaters in the playoffs. And I think there should have been one more, but Paul Pierce just missed it by like a millisecond. So this will be a great matchup. I love when the Hawks play the Wizards. I think John Wall is the obvious play. He's a stud. He's the floor general of the Wiz kids. Picks up his play this season by adding a 3-point shot. The Wizards are fighting for their playoff lives, and their franchise player is just averaging ridiculous numbers, over 21 points, over 11 assists, 6 rebounds over his last 10 outings. So there's a lot of solid point guards on tonight's slate, but Wall has to be considered as one of the top options. As far as the Hawks go, you know, Paul Millsap is a guy that I love, but tonight I just don't think I can do it. He's really been struggling late, bottomed out on Monday. The same Wizards that he'll face tonight when he scored just 13 points, hauled in just 2 rebounds, and he's averaging only 14-8 over his last 5 games. So considering his price tag, I think you got to fade him. As far as the wings on the Hawks go, you never know with them. Tim Hardaway has come out of nowhere, so he could be a nice GPP play along with Thabo Sefolosha, but I think you got to fade Kent Bazemore and Kyle Korver because of these two guys that have come out of nowhere.
No doubt. Interesting stuff right there. Like you said, Wall hasn't been getting it done lately, and it's going to be – I'm probably throw about 5 lineups out Fantasy Aces tonight. I'm definitely trying to get a little bit of a good amount of exposure in this plus-plus matchup tonight. Boston Celtics and Toronto Raptors in Boston. Currently, I got it at Pick'em. 208 is the total. This is like another game that could have some nice fantasy action in it.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I like Evan Turner a lot. I think he could have a solid game. Isaiah Thomas is another great player. A solid point guard. As far as a value play, I think Amir Johnson. I always like revenge games. I love the narrative. He's playing against his former team, and he's been playing very well recently. So he could be a decent punt play at the power forward position. On the Raptors side of the ball, Kyle Lowry has just been absolutely dominant this season, and he continues that dominance down the stretch. Over his last five contests, he's averaging 27.2 points, 3.2 threes, 6.8 assists, 6.4 rebounds, 2.2 steals, and 50.5 DraftKings points per game. Lowry is just an absolute dominant point guard these days. I think people don't give him the credit he deserves. He's certainly going to be a matchup problem for Isaiah Thomas, who stands at just 5'9". And the last time these two teams met, Lowry dropped 32 points. So I think you got to consider Lowry. Raptors are still fighting for that number one seed in the East. So look for him to go all out tonight in Boston.
Interesting that you mentioned that. Like you said, they are in contention number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And Lowry, like you said, these past couple of seasons, he's really been showing it. Like you said, as of recently, definitely getting the job done. The thing about Kyle Lowry is he never finds a way to make it into my lineups. And I think tonight I am going to do that because this kid, like you said, he has been getting it done. Now, moving along, I want to get into the next contest, the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic. 209, another nice high total. Detroit, 6.5-point home favorite in this contest. I don't know. I think, well, I'm not even going to get into that spread. But listen, Orlando and Detroit tonight in Detroit, what do you got?
So here's an injury I missed out on earlier. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has just been ruled out. These things come out, all the time. So sometimes I miss a couple of them, but they're coming out throughout the day. You always want to check them all the way up until game time. But KCP is out. So I think Reggie Jackson's usage rate may skyrocket in this game. The Magic allow the 10th most DraftKings points per game to opposing point guards. So Jackson, although he's been dealing with an illness and his minutes were limited recently, he supposedly is good now. His price tag has dropped, and I think he's got a good chance to bounce back tonight. A value shot, I like rookie Stanley Johnson. He's going to log a lot of extra minutes with KCP out, and he should definitely exceed value, especially after registering over 36 DraftKings points against the Nets a few nights ago. On the other side of the ball, Victor Oladipo. Oh, man, has this guy been a stud. KCP out being out also affects Oladipo because he should get an easier matchup. Oladipo's been on fire, including a 45-point effort against the Cavs last week. He scored 20 points five games in a row, and his numbers are just ridiculous. Not to mention he's hitting on all cylinders, converting 58.7% of his shots. So I think Oladipo is definitely a shooting guard you want to consider. He may not be the top shooting guard because James Harden is on the slate, but he's definitely one you got to consider at around 7,800, I believe, on DraftKings.
7,700 is the price on DraftKings.
77.
Projected for 33. That's a scout projection tonight. This is right off the premium forums. Like I'm telling you, we got these good projections in there. Projected for 33 DraftKings points tonight. So Victor Oladipo, that's a 33 with a bullet. That's definitely, I agree with you. That 33 definitely end up being something like 43 because Oladipo, like you said, everything is lining up. The stars are lining up right for him tonight, and he will be a player that I'll have some exposure to. How about my terrible New York Knicks on the road at Chicago to take on the Bulls? 202 is the game total on this one. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Carmelo Anthony is already ruled out. Chicago Bulls, 8-point favorite in this one. What do you think about this contest? Listen, Knicks, they can be had. They're a team that's given up for the most part. Home game for the Bulls, they could very well blow them out.
Well, so I'm a Knicks fan too. So this has been a very depressing season. You know, Phil Jackson comes in. We think he's going to turn it around. Maybe he will. We don't really know. I do like some of the draft picks he's made. Let's not rule it out too early. We love Porzingis, although he's been struggling. Just so you know, Melo is going to return tonight, but
oh,
I would not.
Okay.
I would not start him against Jimmy Butler. Butler is a tremendous defender, has limited Melo previously, so I wouldn't go with him. One flyer that I would maybe consider, definitely not in the cash game lineup, but Jerry and Grant. If you want to go very cheap at the point guard position, my main man, Jerry and Grant, rookie out of Notre Dame, could be your guy. He's earning more minutes while the aging veteran Jose Calderon, who's absolutely terrible and is dealing with several injuries, interim head coach Kurt Rambis has no reason not to give his young player some run in this lost season. Grant played 27 minutes on Sunday against the Kings, scored 14 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, not too bad, and he seems to be blossoming when he's given the opportunity. So he's very high risk, very not even high reward, but he can certainly exceed value. So
he can free up some spot. He can free up some salary to get some of those big studs we got tonight. And, you know, I seen Grant play in high school. I covered a high school game of his at the Master Catholic in Maryland. So how about that?
There you go. And he really has a lot of raw ability. He just hasn't been able to gain that chemistry with his teammates. And I think once he gets more playing time, he will eventually surpass Calderon as a starting point guard. But like you said, this game probably will be a blowout. Pau Gasol is back. I think he's a GPP option. In 25 minutes of action, he, after returning from a 4-game injury hiatus, he finished with 45.5 DraftKings points, and that was just in 25 minutes. So, you know, imagine what he could have done in 35 minutes like he normally plays. So if Gasol gets the minutes tonight and the Knicks manage to keep it close, he could go off.
Yeah, that can be a guy that you could hit that nice high number in a GPP. Like you said, Derrick Rose, every time I put Derrick Rose in my lineup, I go to sleep hating myself. I'm finished with him. Matt, I am done with Derrick Rose. Please do not tell me anything good about Derrick Rose right now.
I honestly agree with you. I can't blame you. He has improved recently since the All-Star break. He has certainly gotten better. But, you know, I just can't trust him. Every time I put him in the lineup, you know, he'll break his nose and miss the second half, or he'll you know, end up with an even bigger injury. So, you know, Rose is just a guy I don't really trust. He doesn't get the assist that he used to. His peripheral stats are not great. He's mainly just a scorer now, and he's not the MVP that he used to be.
No, those days are long gone. You know what I mean? I hate to say this, but, you know, you see his little, with his little boy at the basketball games and the press conferences and stuff like that. Nice little young fella. But, I mean, he's probably telling his son at this point, I used to be real good like a couple years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you was a baby. I was the MVP. You know, and his son is probably like, you're like a journeyman. Four games.
Exactly.
Oh, anything else we should be looking for with the Chicago Bulls, JP, anybody?
You know, one value play I like a little bit, definitely high risk again, but Doug McDermott, he's been hitting a ton of threes recently. He's definitely a high risk play, but he's a salary relief guy at the small forward position. Definitely a guy to consider.
All right, Doug McDermott. I know I've had him in a couple of my lineups over the past couple of weeks as a point playing. He has come through 4 games into this Big 12 game slate. Let's move it along. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 11-point home favorite to the Milwaukee Bucks. LeBron James the other day said that his team was starting to get in the playoff mode. I tell you what, I think LBJ is probably the top play tonight. Even though it's 11-point play at home.
I agree, but I was looking at this game, and obviously the two big names that come to mind are Giannis Antetokounmpo and LeBron James. They're both incredible, incredible players, and I think it's going to be an incredible matchup. They'll probably guard each other, and as much as I love LeBron, who's coming off a triple-double and who's averaged 32 points, 10.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists against the Bucks, I actually like the alphabet more tonight.
Really?
This kid has been unbelievable. He's a triple-double threat whenever he steps on the court. With Michael Carter-Williams out for the season, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's been like the number one player in fantasy basketball since the All-Star break. He's been unbelievable. Turnovers, a little bit of an issue. Three-point shot, certainly an issue. But, you know, over his last 10 games, he's averaging over 20 points, 8.8 assists, 8.2 rebounds, 2.1 blocks, and 1.8 steals. So that ain't too shabby. I really, you know, LeBron and the alphabet's salaries are very similar. I can't blame you for going either way, but me personally, I like Giannis tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. I will have exposure to both, so just got to figure out how I'm going to dish that exposure out, but I agree with you. These are definitely any secondary pieces on these two teams, or are we just focusing on these two guys?
Guy who has seen his price drop dramatically is Greg Monroe. And, you know, he started the season off playing very well. Jason Kidd, I don't know what he does with his lineups. He's a very, very weird coach, kind of like a Scott Skiles of the Orlando Magic. Just never seems to know what he's doing with his rotation. I don't know why Monroe wasn't in the starting lineup for as long as he wasn't. Monroe is finally back in the starting lineup. At first, he wasn't playing starter minutes, but he finally played 34 minutes the other night, dropped 18 points, grabbed 10 rebounds. His price tag is as low as ever, so he could be a value center play tonight. I think he's going to be very, very under-owned, and I think he could, you know, deliver.
That's an interesting call right there. Good job with that. When the Minnesota Timberwolves are a 5-point home favorite to the Sacramento Kings, we already discussed Sacramento Kings will be without Boogie Cousins tonight. 221 is total on this game, and they're going to get up and down the court in Minnesota tonight. I know you're going to give us this full breakdown, but just looking around the internet and reading some stuff today, the name I'm seeing pop up is Ricky Rubio.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Ricky Rubio is my guy. I love him. He's coming off a magnificent performance, which he knocked down a career-high three-pointers. Tallied 20 points, 11 assists, 4 boards, 4 steals. The guy can do it all. Unfortunately, his field goal percentage is terrible, but in DFS, that doesn't matter. So, you know, his price is relatively manageable. If he could drop 20 points, 11 assists, and 4 boards against the Warriors, imagine what he can do against a Kings defense, allowing the most points per game to opposing teams in the NBA and the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards. Rubio is definitely a guy I'm targeting. There's so many great point guards on the slate tonight. But
yes, it definitely is. You nailed it. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how am I going to get Rubio? How am I going to get Rubio, Wall? I'm going to have a piece of, Kyle Lowry. This is going to be tough to do tonight.
And we haven't even gotten to the Warriors-Clippers where we got Curry and CP3. I mean, there's amazing point guards on the slate tonight. It's going to be very difficult to choose. But Rubio is a guy that I'm going to have a ton of exposure to. He's blossoming. He's playing better than he's ever played. He's finally coming off injuries, seems to be healthy. And with Karl Anthony Towns in there, you know, this Minnesota Timberwolves team is going to be very good. I actually love the entire Wolves starting lineup. I think Wiggins is a good play. I think Zach LaVine is a good play. And as I mentioned before, I think Towns is the top center on the board, especially with Cousins out. Do you really think Kufis is going to stop Towns? Like, are you serious? No. There's a reason that Towns is projected to produce the most points in the Scout Fantasy Premium Forums at the center position. So Towns is a center that you definitely got to consider. And Rubio, point guard, love him. On the Kings side of the ball, Kufis, we already mentioned. I also like Darren Collison a lot. Although he's been relegated to the bench role, production increases by 6.2 fantasy points on both DraftKings and FanDuel when Ben McLemore is sidelined. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Price tag, pretty low. So definitely a guy to consider to save up for some of the studs.
All right, a lot of work to do tonight, my man. I tell you what. Let me ask you this. On a night like tonight, a big 12-game slate, you more cash games or you still going to go for some GPPs?
More cash games, but I go for at least one GPP every single night. I'm a New York resident, so DraftKings and FanDuel are gone for me. As we talked earlier today, I'm going to check out Fantasy Aces, so I don't know too much about that, but I'm going to look into it.
I have a promo code I'll send you. We'll get it done from there.
Sounds like a plan. But, cash games, I think, are the smartest way to go tonight. But I definitely will enter at least one GPP.
All right, moving right along. Big, nice 221 total in the last contest we spoke about. And then we drop down to the 199, the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz tonight. James Harden's good to go for tonight, right? No sprained ankle, everything's good, right?
He produced a career high of 16 assists last night, so I think you could say he's good to go. He's definitely a guy to consider. I still have a little bit of reservations about him. You know, he seemed healthy last night, but it's a back-to-back. The Rockets are going to be exhausted that shootout in Oklahoma City last night, so I don't think I'm going to be targeting Harden. Maybe a little bit of exposure, but the guy I really like in this game is Gordon Hayward. Like I said, the Rockets are going to be real tired. They also cough up the most DraftKings points per game to opposing small forwards this season. Hayward's averaging 21 points per game on 50% field goal shooting and in his three meetings with Houston this year, and he's pretty underpriced given his 1 week absence due to injury. So I think Hayward is a solid option tonight at small forward. On the Rocket side of the ball, it's crazy to say this, but I still like Michael Beasley. He was a bit underwhelming last night against the Thunder. He didn't play too much, but he still got 18.5 DraftKings points in 16 minutes. So it just goes to show when he gets the minutes, he gets the DraftKings points. Prior to that, he had a four-game run where he tallied 32.8, 27.5, 27, and 38.8 DraftKings points, respectively. So as long as the minutes are there, Beasley has tremendous upside and is a relatively safe cash game play.
No doubt. Hey, listen, yeah, that is singing his praises pretty good with those numbers right there. I'm just... You know what? Two of the players you just spoke about, Beasley is one of those guys. I can't ever really pull the trigger on doing it. But I think you might have talked me into putting him in one lineup tonight. Now, Gordon Hayward is a guy who is opposite of, like, the Derrick Roses and the guys I talked about earlier. Whenever I play Gordon Hayward, he always goes off me. He never lets me down. He's like my DFS BFF.
DFS, BFF, I got to steal that line. I like it.
That was pretty good. I just came up with that one. I'm taking that right to the patent office.
Trademark that right away. Hayward's very, very consistent. He's the Utah Jazz go-to option. You know, the Jazz have some good players on their team. They have Derek Favors. They got Gobert. But Hayward is the primary scorer, so he's going to be the guy that's going to be shooting the most. He gets a few rebounds, he gets a few assists. He can really do it all, and he continues to improve every year. So maybe he's my DFS BFF too. I don't know.
Might as well. We can share him. Up next on the slate, the Miami Heat travel to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Spurs, after that embarrassing loss against the Hornets the other night, are 11.5-point favorites in this game. 197, another game with a low total. Is it anything fantasy? Is there anything that you can do? Okay, is there any cash game plays in this contest?
All right, so I don't like this matchup at all. I think maybe LaMarcus Aldridge is a cash game option. You know, he continues to get more comfortable. He admitted that his early season struggles were a product of not taking the shot that he normally took in Portland, shooting much more now, and that's translated well in the DFS world. He's averaging 41.9 DraftKings points per game over his last 10 games, and he scored 28 points against the Heat earlier this season. So I do think Aldridge could be a cash game play. He's the only guy I would consider in this matchup. Maybe Kawhi Leonard, but I don't even think so, because I think there's other small forwards on the board that I'd rather take. A guy that some people might be targeting on the Heat is Hassan Whiteside, but I say absolutely not. Yeah, he had a big game last night, but that was against the Pelicans, who are missing Anthony Davis. So now he faces the best defensive team in the NBA over the last decade, and the Spurs are gonna stop him. I mean, he'll probably have a decent game, but he's not going to exceed value. So, you know, I stay away from this matchup as much as possible.
I agree with you on that one. This right here, I don't think I do like that Aldridge call, but I don't think I'll be getting much into this one. The Philadelphia 76ers, pitiful, travel to Denver to take on the Nuggets. Denver, nice 8-point favorite, nice 213 total on this one. Which Nuggets be using tonight?
So I mentioned Daryl Arthur earlier, boomer bust, struggled in his last outing. I don't know if I can do it after I went for it last time. Another point guard I like is DJ Augustine. He's worth a look. 76ers struggle against opposing defenses. Augustine's got a very nice jump shot, can rack up assists quickly, and he's averaging 26 DraftKings points over his last 10 contests. So he's a nice value play at his price tag. Those are really the only Nuggets that I would consider. Probably am not going to go with either. They're two guys that I look at, but I don't think I would actually pull the trigger on either of them. On the other side of the ball, with the Sixers, Hollis Thompson is a guy that I think you have to consider. As we mentioned earlier, Jahlil Okafor, Robert Covington are out. Thompson's playing 33 minutes per game, and he's playing well. He's averaging 13.5 points and 24 DraftKings points per game over his last six appearances. So I think he's a guy you got to consider at his price, and he's probably the only Sixer that I consider. So even though this game has a lot of, you know, a high over-under, there's just not that many solid options in it.
Yeah, I would what's this kid? Noel? Nerlens Noel?
Nerlens Noel. He's a
DFS
solid player.
Dead to me. And then he is, but he's DFS dead to me. He's on my bad luck list. I don't know what it is with this kid. I played him one night. He scored 2 points.
He can do that. He's a boomer bust guy. He is much better with Okafor out now. But as we mentioned, there's a ton of players tonight. It's a 12-game slate, so you really got to love the guys that you're playing. I just don't – if you're having reservations about a guy, then you can't move forward with it. On a 12-game slate – and on a 3-game slate, a 4-game slate, it's okay to have reservations. But on a 12-game slate, you got to have confidence in who you're picking. And tonight, I don't think you can go with many Nuggets or Sixers.
All right. That is, we're 9 games into this big slate. Of course, breaking it down with Matt Brandon from Scout Fantasy, the premium forums. I keep saying it, the premium forums, the NBA DFS content, top expert rankings on DFSOverlay.com right now, above Roto Grinders, above Daily Roto. Get involved right now. Exec3, EXEC3 is the promo code. Head on over there. Get 2 months free. Wrap up the fantasy basketball season real strong. Let's get back to the slate. The Phoenix Suns are a 5-point home favorite against the Los Angeles Lakers. 211 is the total, MB. Oh, man, I tell you what, it looks like we're going to need some action on this one. I like to have people in the late games, too, because it's no worse feeling than sitting up at the top of the leaderboard and getting walked down in those late games.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, it's the worst. When you rack up a ton of points, you know, there's one game left, two games left, and you're just waiting for those guys to creep past you. Worst feeling in the world. So there are a couple of guys I like in this game. On the Sun side of the ball, Brandon Knight. First of all, this game is a real stinker. These two teams absolutely suck.
Yeah, they suck.
But that doesn't matter in DFS. So I think Brandon Knight can deliver value tonight. It's unfortunate that there's so many great point guards. Brandon Knight is really the most solid player in Phoenix and will face the same Lakers defense that he posted 22 points against on Friday. After his long, you know, he was injured for a while, but he's back now. It looks like he's getting his legs back, and he's gone for 30-plus fantasy points twice in a row. I think he'll do it for a third time tonight. Alex Len is another guy to consider. I think he's power forward on FanDuel, center on DraftKings. And on the Lakers side of the ball, we're still waiting to hear about D'Angelo Russell. If he is out, I think Jordan Clarkson is a great play. He scored 22 points against the Grizzlies last night. And Kobe may not be able to play that many minutes on the second half of a back-to-back. So Clarkson could take on the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA, practically by himself. I mean, Lou Williams is another option. But I think Clarkson's usage rate is going to be huge, and that could result in ultimately plenty of fantasy points.
You know what? Speaking about last night, I like I said, I was over on Aces last night, and they have a opening day baseball contest satellite where you can, you know, top four win tickets. I think it might have been 16 teams, top four win tickets. And I was like, I'm going to get me a couple of these tickets tonight. Listen, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson came through for me. Well, Clarkson came through for me last night. I ended up getting a ticket with that team, so I got my first entry to the big baseball contest on opening day. But the other one with the cash, too, D'Angelo Russell, goes out. He leaves the game, but I do agree with you 100% on that one. You have to get some uses to if Clarkson has had that situation to himself, I think that he is a player that you have to figure out a way to get a nice amount of exposure to tonight.
And the Lakers have admitted that it's time to get the young guys some more playing time. So, you know, Clarkson is a young guy. This is his second year in the league. And, you know, Kobe's retiring. There's no reason to continue to develop him. He's fully developed.
No, he's done.
He's done.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
He got no needs left. So, you know, Clarkson's a great player. I think he's got a solid future ahead of him. And I like him tonight.
All right, no doubt. Let's get ready to move along. Go from Lakers Suns to the main event. Of course, the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Clippers. My TV will be on this. I would say this might be this is definitely one of the top rivalries in the NBA right now. You have two teams that do not like each other. Of course, the Warriors who have been looking – the Warriors don't look like the Warriors from a couple months ago right now. Don't get me wrong, they're still winning. But you start to see the Warriors, I don't want to say fade, but they look like a little bit winded. They get their nemesis, the Los Angeles Clippers. They're a 10-point favorite. 225 is the total. Listen, on Fantasy Aces, what you were talking about earlier, and I know we're giving advice to fans on DraftKings. This is general NBA advice. And if you're in New York and you're listening and you want to give Aces a shot, Aces, you start three guards and two utils. Not a point guard, not a shooting guard. So it's three guards, three forwards, a center, and two utilities. Would you consider playing 5-point guards tonight?
Absolutely. I was just about to say that, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, I don't know. I've never played on Fantasy Aces, so I don't know the scoring format. But if it's anything similar to FanDuel and DraftKings, I would absolutely consider that. I think it's a great idea.
All right, here we go. Golden State and the Clippers.
obviously Steph, Draymond, Chris Paul, the whole gang, under the radar plays in this one?
I honestly don't really like any of the under the radar plays. I kind of like J.J. Redick. I think he could be decent. But the three guys that you just mentioned are the guys that I'm looking at. You know, I think if you can put Curry and CP3 in a lineup, that game is the premier matchup of tonight. I think it has the highest over-under. Am I correct about that?
225 it does.
So it's going to be a very high-scoring game. Both teams play with very, very quick pace. Draymond Green should dominate with Blake Griffin out of the lineup. You know, DeAndre Jordan, he's a guy to consider, but he's a little pricey, and I think there's some better centers on the board. So the three guys, Curry, CP3, Draymond Green, and then the little value play, J.J. Redick. Those are the four guys that I would target in this matchup.
All right, here we go. Last but not least, the Portland Trailblazers, a 6-point home favorite to the Dallas Mavericks. 215 is the total. Had a nice night a few nights ago. I want to give a shout-out to Dirk and Whiskey for that. What do we got tonight?
This is a game I like a lot. So another injury that I failed to mention earlier, it's not really an injury, but Chandler Parsons, I think 2 days ago, was shut down for the season.
Yep.
So that's going to change a lot for the Dallas Mavericks. Raymond Felton is the guy that he benefits the most from Parsons being out. It's time for him to step it up. He averages 7 more minutes per game when Parsons is sidelined, so the opportunity will definitely be there. David Lee is another value play he's not even so much value. His price is going up because he's producing at a pretty elite rate these days. And here's an under-the-radar guy for the Mavericks, Deron Williams. He should enjoy Sunday night's rematch with the Blazers. We saw vintage D-Will in the game as he went off for 31 points and a whopping 16 assists. In the past, Williams has seen the biggest increase in fantasy points per game on Parsons' sideline. So I actually like D-Will a lot, not just tonight, but down the stretch of the NBA season. I think he's a guy that you want to consider on a nightly basis as the DFS season ends. Dirk is another guy that I'd consider. Parsons being out changes everything. But Deron Williams, Raymond Felton, those two guys I think could have very good games, and they're both very reasonably priced. As far as the Blazers go, obviously Damian Lillard is great, but I think we've already established there's just too many other point guards on this slate that you got to consider. So at the shooting guard position, I really like C.J. McCollum. McCollum scored at least 20 points 3 games in a row, producing decent peripheral stats. And Sunday against Dallas, the sharpshooter poured in 22 points, 3 threes, 8 assists, 2 steals, a block, 40 DraftKings points. And he's now surpassed 40 DraftKings points 3 games in a row. So, you know, he's at a discounted price right now, so I continue to roll with McCollum at shooting guard. As far as the center position goes, Mason Plumlee is a boomer bust guy. Went for a monster double-double, 14 points and 19 rebounds against the against the Mavericks on Sunday, and could be in for another strong outing with Myers Leonard still sidelined. You know, it's a little bit hard to predict how many minutes he'll play. You know, he goes anywhere between 23 and 33, something like that. But if he logs around 30 minutes, he should definitely deliver value for DFS owners.
Good job, my man. Of course, Dame Lillard tonight. It's going to be tough to get him in there, but I think he's a player you got to find out a way to.
Don't get me wrong, I'll certainly – you know, I'm taking you up on this Fantasy Aces thing. I'm definitely checking it out as soon as we hang up on this phone. You know, I'm definitely looking into it. I think Lillard, you know, he's a great player. He's one of the top point guards in the league. The problem is it's just that there's so many other great point guards on tonight's slate. Depending on how many lineups I make, I'll probably get one in there with Lillard, but there's so many other point guards. You know,
yeah.
I want to do one where I couple Curry and CP3. I want to get Lowry in one. You know, I want to get John Wall in more than one. I really like John Wall. Is my favorite. He's my favorite point guard of the night. I think he's the number one point guard tonight.
Right.
You know, we'll see what happens. It should be a very interesting night with 12 games on the slate. I'm very excited to watch the NBA tonight. So it should be great.
Good night. Good sweat coming up tonight. Good luck to everybody. Of course, don't even worry about luck. Just head on over to the premium forum right now over at Scout Fantasy. Exec3 is the promo code, EXEC, the number 3. Get yourself 2 months free and have a good time playing this DFS hoops with us, even if you are a New Yorker. Now, Matt, now, you're behind-the-scenes guy, editing staff and all of that with Scout Fantasy. This podcast is going to go into an article format. It's going to be put on Scout Fantasy, and then you'll be able to share it on, you know, Twitter or Facebook, whatever the case may be. Now, we got 4 hours to promote this, right? We got 4 hours to tip-off. What do you think is the best guy as the cover boy for this story? Is it our BFF, Gordon Hayward? Is it John Wall? Or is it Curry or CP3? Or is it Karl Anthony Towns?
Interesting question. You know, I think it's either Hayward because we got that DFS BFF, or I think it's Ricky Rubio.
I love Rubio
tonight. I know you didn't mention him in the options, but I think it's either Hayward or Rubio because I don't think that you want to go with, you know, one of the guys that's $9,000. You want to go with a guy that's mid-range but definitely has huge upside and huge appeal. So I think Hayward or Rubio, those are my two guys.
We want guys that we're not going to see no place else. We want guys that – it's going to be, okay, I've seen Anthony Towns all day. I've seen Stephanie's articles all day. Oh, look at this, Ricky Rubio. What's going on, Ricky Rubio? Well, listen, you're in charge of that. You're one of the guys that will be putting that together. But I want to thank you a lot. Great job, my man. And you know what? We'll do this again next week.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Corey. Appreciate it.
No doubt. I will get this link right to you and that Fantasy Aces link. For my man, Matt Brandon, and the rest of the crew over at Scout Fantasy, we want to thank you for taking some time out to rock with us. Everybody have a big night in DFS, and, of course, play Scout Fantasy, football contest in the lobby, baseball contest down to the wire, and the good stuff on the DFS, on the message board, the DFS stuff on the premium message boards over there on scout.com. The Takeover, great talking with you. We'll be back next week.